Hey everybody, welcome to Mosaic House Online Worship. Today we'll be talking about one of my favorite topics, food, eating together. So here is a question that I want to set before you, and I would like you to respond to that on your own, okay? What is your most memorable experience eating with someone else? Eating together with someone else. When I asked this question this past week, one person said, my most memorable experience eating together with someone else was one of my daughter's weddings. I said, why is that? She said, because everyone that I loved was there. I asked a teenager, what is your most memorable experience eating together with someone else? She said, every Sunday, my dad would pick my sister, younger sister, and me from home. My parents are divorced. So we got to see my dad only once a week. And he would pick us up, and every Sunday, we would have pizza. And we got so sick of pizzas. I said, so why is that such a most memorable experience? She said, because we got to see daddy. What is your most memorable experience eating with someone? Let me tell you mine. About 5 years ago, I live in Edmonton, and I took the train from downtown to the Century Park. I got off the train, and I was walking towards the McDonald's restaurant on 23rd Avenue. It was about the lunchtime. As I was about to walk in, there was a young woman. She looked about, 20-year-old, maybe early 20s or even late teens, but she was a young woman. She asked for money, and there she was, wearing a pair of old jeans and a hoodie. And when she asked for money, she wasn't making eye contact with me either. There was a sense of shame on her face. I said, what do you need it for? She said, I need to buy a bus ticket. Now, usually I am hesitant about giving money to panhandlers because I just don't know what they're going to do with the money. So this is what I said. I said, I will buy you a bus ticket, but I want to buy you lunch first. Come into the Mickey D's with me. She says, I can't. What do you mean you can't? Well, I just got kicked out of the restaurant by the manager because I was asking the customers for money. And with a confidence in my voice, you coming with me, you coming with me. So we walked in together, and sure enough, everyone stopped working in the kitchen and by the counter, and they all looked at her. Even the customers at the tables, they looked at her. And I saw what was going on, so in a loud voice, and I made sure everyone heard what I was about to say. I said, yo, she's with me. We're going to eat together. So we ordered two Big Mac combos, biggie size fries and Dr. Pepper. And there she was, sitting on this side of the table and myself on this side. Her name is, I'm going to call her Susan. Susan, tell me your story. So as Susan was biting into her Big Mac, this is what I heard. While I was in high school, my parents and I got into lots of arguments. There were conflicts all the time. So I left home, never finished high school, became homeless, and I got hooked up with a boyfriend, and I was living with him, and he just kicked me out. So I'm in need of bus tickets. And there we were. Eating a Big Mac, French fries, drinking Dr. Pepper. And I'll tell you why this is the most memorable experience for me in terms of eating with someone. After we had this lunch, we walked out, went over to the 7-Eleven right next door, and I bought a ticket. And as I was coming home, I reflected, why was that so meaningful? Why do I still remember this? It's not what we ate. Is it? Good heavens. We had fast food and junky food and unhealthy food. No, it wasn't what we ate. It was what happened as we ate. Two persons who had nothing in common, gender, race, ethnicity, social status, and lifestyle, life choices. We had nothing in common. But friends, I'll tell you, as I sat over here, she sat there, only 3 feet apart, eating a Big Mac and French fries, drinking Dr. Pepper. All these differences, all these barriers, they disappeared. And what remained on the table was not the food. It was our experience. And our experience was this. We shared, not a combo deal, we shared humanity. Let me repeat that. What made this experience so memorable to me was the fact that I, and I hope she, we both experienced shared humanity. In that half an hour, nothing mattered. I was identifying myself with her. I wasn't looking down on her. I was able to not only sympathize, but I feel like I want to be for you. I accept you. I want to support you. You see, we shared humanity. Now, why am I telling this story? Because there's a better story. Jesus is going to eat with Matthew, and in this encounter, something supernatural, something of God's grace explodes. So let me take you there. Matthew chapter 9, we're going to read verses 9 through 13. It's a storytelling narrative. As such, I want to encourage you to use the picture it method. This method of reading the Bible is simply placing yourself in the story, in the narrative. So you are hearing the conversations, you see what's going on, and you see yourself in the characters in the narrative. Okay, so let's go there. Hear the word of the Lord, Matthew 9. As Jesus went on from there, he saw a man named Matthew sitting at the tax collector's booth. "Follow me," he told him. And Matthew got up and followed him. While Jesus was having dinner at Matthew's house, many tax collectors and sinners came and ate with him and his disciples. When the Pharisees saw this, they asked his disciples, "Why does your teacher eat with tax collectors and sinners?" On hearing this, Jesus said, "It is not the healthy who need a doctor, but the sick. But go and learn what this means. I desire mercy, not sacrifice. For I have not come to call the righteous, but sinners." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Would you pray with me? Lord Jesus, we call upon your name. Would you unleash your Holy Spirit upon me, everyone joining in this worship hour via online? Open our eyes, open our ears, open our hearts, that we may see Jesus, that we may hear Jesus, that we may conceive Jesus in our hearts. We receive your grace now. In the name of Christ, amen. Friends, I believe, as Pastor Jeremiah always says, I believe this is what Jesus wants you to know, hear, feel, and embrace. Okay? Here's the main theme and the goal. And you can download the sermon notes so you may follow along and fill in the blanks, because this will help you to remember and retain the theme and the goal. When we eat together, we bless one another. One more time. When we eat together, when we are at the table together, when we share a meal together, what happens? We bless one another. As simple as an activity as eating together can create or unleash or give birth to something supernatural. Blessing is done by God. And that's why we call it blessing. It's a blessing because we couldn't do it on our own. So as natural as eating together, when we eat together, God does something supernatural. He blesses it. How? By when we eat together, we bless one another. And this is the power of eating. I like to call it the theology of food, theology of eating together. Because in the Bible, when we encounter, when we read the passages in which Jesus is eating with someone else, something special happens. Something supernatural happens. Something is happening that is beyond what is being seen. Okay? Well, let me ask you this. List all the ways through which you think Jesus blessed the people around him during his earthly ministry. How did he bless the people around him? You might say, by teaching, proclaiming the kingdom of God, right? You might say, Jesus blessed the people by healing them of their sickness, right? You might even say, Jesus set people free from bondages like demon possession and oppression, right? You might even say, through prayer, he blessed the people. And ultimately, I hope you said, by dying on the cross, taking all our sins, and rising up from the dead in his resurrection, that is how he blessed people. I bet you didn't respond. Jesus blessed people by eating together with them. I missed them myself. But that's what we find. Time after time after time, we find Jesus eating with people, not just any people, people that you would not say, whoa, he ate with them? Well, that's a surprise. It sure was scandalous in his day. Because eating together 2,000 years ago in Israel, it meant friendship. It meant camaraderie. It meant, I accept you. I want you to be my friend. I want myself to be your friend. Eating together meant we empathize with each other. We are in the same class, same boat. We have same experiences. It's becoming like the person with whom you are eating the meal together. So it was a lot more than just eating. Here's my hope. As I unpack the theme and the goal, when we eat together, we bless one another. There's two points. First point has to do with receiving grace. We receive grace. The second point has to do with giving grace. In every sermon, you should receive grace and then give grace in response. So here's the first point. First point is about receiving grace. Write these words in the blanks. Jesus is blessing you by eating with you. The Son of God, the Creator God, the one who redeems you from your brokenness, that God Himself is what? He is eating with you. Look it. The first thing Jesus does after calling Matthew to follow him, we find in verse 11, they were having a dinner together. Jesus was eating with Matthew. And this created a tremendous, tremendous scandal. In verse 11, I read, when the Pharisees saw this, they asked his disciples, they saw Jesus eating with Matthew. Why does your teacher eat with tax collectors and sinners? They were objecting. They were muttering. They were complaining. Why would someone like Jesus, whom we think is like a prophet, man of God, holy person, why is he eating with a bunch of sinners? It's scandalous. It's not right. It is wrong. We hear the same thing happening in Luke 19. There's another tax collector. If I said, name someone in the Bible who's really short, you're going to say Zacchaeus. Remember him? Zacchaeus was a tax collector himself. And as Jesus was walking by, he climbed the tree just to look at Jesus because Jesus was so popular and everyone wanted to be with Jesus. And Jesus stops on his tracks. He looks up at the tree and says to Zacchaeus, "Zacchaeus, come down. I must stay at your house today." Meaning, I'm going to come over and I'm going to eat with you. And the Pharisees and the religious leaders said this. All the people saw this and began to mutter, complain. He has gone to be the guest of a sinner? In the New Testament of the Bible, the word sinner can be descriptive. When the New Testament says sinners, it is referring to thieves, robbers, murderers, prostitutes, and one more. Guess what? You got it. Tax collectors. In one breath, name someone who's a sinner. They will say killer, thief, robber, prostitute, and tax collectors. Tax collectors were notorious for being labeled in the sinner's camp. And let me just give you two reasons. Israel was captured and occupied by the Roman Empire. Now, the tax collectors were Jewish people, their own blood and flesh, flesh and blood, okay? But they sided with the captors, the enemy, the Romans, and they began collecting taxes. So, first account, they went to it, sided with the captors, the enemy. Strike number one. Strike number two, the tax collectors were not paid by the Romans. Instead, they would charge you higher tax, and the tax collectors would send money to Rome, and they would keep some to themselves, meaning they became wealthy on the backs of their own countrymen. So tax collectors were despised with passion. Everyone hated the tax collectors. Now, so here's Jesus eating with a tax collector. What's his name? Matthew. And the Pharisees. Pharisees are a group of people, Jewish people, who really observed and obeyed the law of God revealed in the Bible. Okay? They were complaining, why is Jesus eating with the sinners? People like Matthew. But there's more going on here than just what meets the eye. It has to do with the ceremonial laws in the Bible. In the Bible, there is a group of type of laws that is known as the ceremonial laws, like the dietary law and clean law. If you touch a defiled thing, you become unclean and therefore unacceptable before God. If you eat certain foods, you become unclean and therefore you're not acceptable before God's sight. You are tainted. You are defiled, unclean. Okay? Now, let me take you to Acts chapter 11 because it really captures the whole principle here. The Apostle Peter was sent by the Holy Spirit to go to the home of Cornelius, a Gentile person, meaning non-Jewish person. He was a Roman. Okay? Now, before Peter goes into the house, he says, "You know, I'm a Jewish man. You are a Gentile, non-Jewish. It is unlawful for me to enter your house," meaning if I come into your house, I become ceremonially unclean. I become defiled in the sight of God, so they thought. Okay. Now, same thing was happening in Peter's dream a couple days ago. He had a vision, and he saw all these animals coming down from heaven, and these were unclean animals, animals that the Jews were not permitted to eat, but God says, "Eat them." Peter said, "No, I will not. I have never eaten anything unclean in my life." So this vision took place three times. Okay? Now the conclusion was this. When Peter went into the house of Cornelius, and when the Jewish brothers found out back in Jerusalem, I read in Acts chapter 11, Verse 3, you went into the house of uncircumcised men and ate with them. It was an accusation, indictment. What they're saying is, you became defiled, unclean. How could you, Pete? Uncircumcised men, non-Jewish people, the pagans. And the Holy Spirit revealed to Peter, don't call anything unclean that I made clean, says the Lord. God was referring to not only the food, but also the people, the Jewish people, the Pharisees, people who observe God's laws. They thought, since the Gentiles, non-Jewish people, they don't observe, obey God's law, therefore they're unclean, unclean, unacceptable. And God is saying, I'm making all people clean, all people clean. You see, think of it this way, this, the ceremonial laws, which is referring to the spiritual cleanness, spiritual holiness, spiritual acceptance before the holy God. Think of it like this. It's like an infection. Okay? If you eat the unclean foods, if you come in contact with sinners, it's like becoming infected with a virus, say the COVID or even the Delta variant. You become infected, you are defiled, and now you transmit the virus to other people by coming in contact with them. So it was similarly assumed. And here's Jesus eating with Matthew the sinner. Can you imagine the surprise of Matthew when Jesus says, Matthew, follow me, and I'm going to eat with you tonight. Can you imagine the look on his face? Can you imagine what he must have felt? He was sitting in his tax collector's booth. He says, who, me? Are you telling me? Are you talking to me? Are you inviting me to follow you? And then you want to come to my home and you want to eat with me? What a surprise. What an amazing surprise. And here's Jesus' response to the muttering of the Pharisees. On hearing this, verse 12, on hearing this, Jesus said, it is not the healthy who need a doctor, but the sick. But go and learn what this means. Verse 13, I desire mercy, not sacrifice, for I have not come to call the righteous, but sinners. Friends, hear what Jesus is saying. I have come not to call the righteous, but the sinners. What he's saying is, everyone is a sinner, but only the sinner will recognize me as the Savior. The righteous, they won't recognize me. They will say, we don't need a Savior because we are righteous before God, because we observe God's laws. We don't eat the unclean food. We don't come in contact with unclean people. And therefore, by our own merits, we are clean. And that's what Jesus is saying. Who needs a doctor? Those who admit they're sick. Those who think they are healthy, they're not going to say, we need a doctor. So here's the thing. Jesus says, go and learn this. I desire mercy, not sacrifice. Sacrifice refers to the sacrificial system of the Bible, by which people thought, if I sacrifice an animal to God, if I observe God's laws, if I obey God, if I don't eat unclean food, if I don't come in contact with unclean people, then I will be declared clean. That's sacrifice. Jesus is saying, no, I desire mercy. None of you. Victor, you can't. You can't. No one can observe God's cleanness, his demand for holiness. You see, according to Jesus, there are two types of people in the world. First type, sinners who admit they're not sinners. Sinners who admit they think they are righteous. Second group, sinners who admit they are sinners. Let me put it this way. There are two types of people in the world. First group, people who are contaminated with the COVID virus, but they don't admit they're sick, and therefore they don't seek help. Second group, people who are contaminated with the COVID, and they recognize they are sick, and they need a savior and a doctor. And that's it. Everyone is sick. Everyone is defiled. Everyone is unclean. We need the mercy of Jesus Christ. So let me give you two applications in terms of this grace, okay? The grace is Jesus wants to eat with you. First application, respond to the invitation. Write that word, invitation. Respond to the invitation. Matthew, when Jesus said, follow me, Matthew dropped everything. He left his tax collector's booth, left all the money, I'm assuming, and he began following Jesus. Friends, that's the invitation. Jesus saying to you, by the virtue of you hearing these words, by the virtue of you listening in today and observing and participating in this worship, Jesus is making this invitation, extending the invitation to you. Come, follow me. He's saying, I want to eat with you. I want to eat with you. Can you hear that? Jesus says, not only do I want to eat with you, I must stay at your house. Do you hear Jesus saying that? Do you hear his invitation? I have a question for you. In the first place, why would Matthew decide to become a tax collector, knowing fully well he would be despised, right? He knew going in, he would be despised and hated. He knew going in, if he became a tax collector, if he sided with the Romans, everyone will defriend him on Facebook. No one will respond to his text messages. He will have no friends. So why in the world would Matthew, knowing all that, what's going to happen? Why would he want to become a tax collector? Would you? The Bible doesn't say, but may I use my imagination? May I? He knew the cost of becoming a tax collector. He would be lonely, without any friends, but I think he became a traitor because he thought he might be better off. The benefits would outweigh the cost, as in, maybe I'll be somebody. I'll have my own identity. Maybe people may despise me, but they will respect me now because I got the power and the authority. Maybe it was about his identity, or maybe it was about his security. Previously, he may have been a fisherman, a poor fisherman. He might have said, you know, I want a better future. I want more security. I want more money. I don't care if everyone hates me. If I have more money, I'll be okay with that. Maybe that's why. But what I want you to notice is, why did Matthew decide to follow Jesus then, when Christ said, come follow me? Why did he give all that up to follow him? The Bible doesn't say, does it? Here's my imagination. My guess is, with all that he gained by becoming a tax collector, he was not satisfied. He wanted something more, something different. Friends, maybe that's you. I'm not saying you're a tax collector, but I am asking, are you content? Are you happy? Are you fully satisfied with who you are and what you become, and as to your future? Are you? If you're honest, you might say, I'm not sure, Victor. Or, no, I'm not. I need something different, something better. That's why Matthew began to follow Jesus, because he saw what Jesus could offer. He desires mercy. Let me put it this way. Not only does Jesus offers this invitation, not only does he invite you to the table, he becomes the meal itself. He becomes the food. Let me quote scholar, the New Testament scholar, N.T. Wright. He writes, when Jesus himself wanted to explain to his disciples what his forthcoming death was all about, he didn't give them a theory, he gave them a meal. You know what he's saying? Jesus, the night before his arrest, he ate with his disciples. He had a supper with them. And then that supper became what we call nowadays, today, the Lord's Supper, the Holy Communion. He said, eat this bread. It's my flesh. He said, drink this cup. Drink this wine. It's my blood. Meaning, I become the food for you. The living bread, the living water, as it were. And you will be fully satisfied. Second application. Let me speak to the Christians, those who have heard Jesus call before, and those of you who began to follow him, but, you know, things got a little distracted, didn't it? Didn't they? Here's a question for you. Number two, application. How often are you eating with Jesus nowadays? Huh? How often? Do you eat with Jesus 3 times a day? Do you eat Jesus once a week? Do you eat with Jesus maybe once a month? See, this eating together, is about having a fellowship with Jesus Christ, right? So here's the question. How often are you having dinner meals with Jesus? He wants to eat with you every day, just you and him. He wants you to eat with him every week, in a house church, and also in a public Sunday worship. Hebrews chapter 10. Do not give up meeting together as some are in the habit of doing, but encourage one another. Do not give up meeting together as some are in the habit of doing. In the COVID, during the pandemic, you kind of checked out eating together with Jesus. Because you eat with Jesus, then you are eating with his people. You cannot separate Jesus and his bride, the church. And God is saying, Jesus is saying, hey, let's pick that up. Let's pick that up. So respond to the invitation and eat often with Jesus. Now we have received grace. Let's give grace, shall we? Here's the second point. You get to bless your neighbors by eating with them. You get to bless them. Not that you have to, not you are obligated. Listen, Jesus died for you, he rose for you, he accepted you, he loved you way before you did anything. So you don't have to eat with your neighbors. You don't, but you get to, because when you eat with them, you are what? You are blessing them. You are blessing them. Look at, we read Matthew 9, right? In verse 10, while Jesus was having dinner at Matthew's house, listen to this. Many tax collectors and sinners came and ate with him. Did you catch that? Matthew, guess what he did? He called up all his friends, other tax collectors, thieves, robbers, prostitutes. Hey, guess what happened? You'll never guess it. Jesus wants to eat with me. And I want you to come and eat with Jesus and with me. That's how Matthew was blessing others. Because when we eat together with others, we bless one another. In the book of Acts, we see this time and time, time after time. They got together every day in the temple courts, in the big house, and then they met together in people's homes, we call house churches, and then guess what they did? They ate together with glad and sincere hearts, praising God and enjoying the favor of all the people. One more time, one more place. In Acts chapter 16, when Lydia, she was a fashion designer, she was into fashion, selling purple clothes, she heard the Apostle Paul's preaching about Jesus. She said, I believe in Jesus. Thank you. Please baptize me. She got baptized, and then she said this to the Apostle Paul. If you consider me a believer in the Lord, come and stay in my house, meaning come and eat with us. When we eat together, we bless one another. Here's a quote from Henry Nouwen. He wrote, "When we invite friends for a meal, we do much more than offer them food for their bodies. We offer friendship, fellowship, good conversation, intimacy, and closeness. When we say, 'Help yourself, take some more, don't be shy, have another glass,' we offer our guests not only our food and drink, but also, watch this, we also offer ourselves. A spiritual bond grows, and we become food and drink for one another. We give grace. When we eat together, we are becoming the avenue, the vehicle, the conduit of the grace of Jesus Christ." You might say, "Well, I have no time. I'm a busy person and I don't have time." Friends, I hear you, but listen. How many times do you eat a day? Hopefully 3 times. I really hope you eat 3 times. I eat 5 times. Yeah, the last one is 11 p.m. late night snack. You don't have to do this. You don't have to add another thing on your calendar. Whenever you eat, whether breakfast, lunch, dinner, simply invite your neighbor. Your neighbor, your friend, your colleagues, people around you. Bless them by eating together. It's not what you eat, but with whom you eat, right? Okay. You might say, "Well, it's the COVID. I don't feel safe." I hear you. I get it. I respect it. So for my wife and myself, during the pandemic lockdown, we simply had people over to the backyard. We maintained social distance. We got a campfire going, and we simply roasted marshmallows and had fantastic s'mores. Everyone loves s'mores, huh? So it can be done. Third, you might say, "I don't know how to cook. I don't have the gift of hospitality." Listen, friends. My family got invited by our neighbors this past Sunday. All they offered was tea, cake, and fruits. That's it. No cooking required. As simple as tea, coffee, refreshments. Because like I said, it's not what you eat, but what happens when you eat and drink with a neighbor. In conclusion, let me break it down and let me land the plane. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 21. God made Jesus, who had no sin, to be sin for us, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. Did you hear that? God made Jesus, who had no sin, he was perfect, he was holy, he was clean. He made him to be what? What? Sin. S-I-N. What does that mean? What does that mean? Was Jesus sinful? No, he was perfect. He was holy. He was clean. Perfect. So what does that mean? It means this. He took up upon himself your sins, my sins, the sins of the world. And he became sin. He became contaminated. He became unclean. And not because of his own sins. No, no, no. He had none. But because of yours and mine, he became unclean, defiled. He became sin. But praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Since he is God himself, he broke the bondage of sin. He broke the bondage of death. And he rose from the dead on the third day, proving that he set us free. He made us clean. He made us holy. He made us acceptable and lovable. Will you come to him? He's calling you. Remember, when we eat together, we bless one another. Jesus wants to eat with you, and we bless others by eating with them. Pray with me. Lord Jesus, we thank you so much for your invitation. Thank you that you want to eat with us. Thank you that you become the meal itself. Thank you that we are declared clean, righteous, not because of our works, but because of what you have done. Thank you that we get to bless our neighbors by eating with them. May your name be glorified. Use us. Use us in blessing others. In the name of Christ, amen. Friends, let's rise together and sing the song response together.